74. Jesse had sensed as much about Peepers. Even in the immediate wake of the explosion and fire, even after the results on the 22 he'd recovered at the scene, he had never felt confident that the man who died in that car was Peepers. He simply had been willing to let himself hope just a little. Still, he needed more than Kahan's word. Proof? Kahan handed Jesse a time-stamped photo. That was taken from surveillance footage at Will Rogers Airport in Oklahoma City. As you can see by the stamp, he got in from Baltimore yesterday afternoon. Jesse didn't say anything as he studied the image. It wasn't exactly high resolution, though the man pictured certainly resembled Peepers. "Looks like it could be him," Jesse said at last. "I figured that would be your attitude, and I can understand your hesitancy, but it's definitely him. Check this out." Kahan went back to Hunsicker's desk, scooped up a tablet, tapped the screen, and offered it to Jesse. "Watch." It was surveillance video of the man in the still photo, showing him as he moved through the terminal. There he was, online at the rental counter. Jesse felt sudden discomfort as he watched the man who Kahan claimed was Peepers standing impatiently, being ignored by the woman behind the counter. He remembered what Belinda Yankton had told him about Peepers' distaste for rudeness. Then Jesse exhaled when the woman at the rental counter waved the man over and smiled at him. There was nothing extraordinary about the remainder of their exchange. The silver Honda Fit, with Arizona tags, was rented to a Mr. Milton James of 2231 Mooney Road, Pewaukee, Wisconsin, Kahan said. "Only problem is, there is no such person and no such street address, though the credit card he used was valid. This guy, whoever he really is good. Probably has 20 different identities, credit cards, passports, phony addresses." Jesse listened, but continued watching. Then he saw it, that smile. Until he saw that smug, self-satisfied smile, the one Belinda Yankton had so eloquently described, he was willing to be unconvinced that the man he was watching was Peepers. But it was frightening how accurate Yankton's depiction of the smile was. "It's like he's the king of the world and ruler of the universe," she'd said to Jesse, as he held her hand at the kitchen table the previous morning. "Lord Jesus, that smile would chill me, Jesse." It was as if he had some secret knowledge or he found something amusing the rest of us couldn't possibly get. Jesse put the tablet down at his side.
"You wouldn't want to tell me how you got access to this footage, would you?"
Kahan laughed. "I asked for it. You just have to know who to ask." "Okay, even if I'm 90% sure this is, it's him. It's good not to just accept things at face value, Jesse. It's one of the first things you learn in intel. Don't act immediately on information unless there's no choice. Question, question, question. And when you're sure, question it again. Then test it. But that's him."
"What about the guy in Paradise?" Jesse asked.
"I checked with my people there last night before I went with Hale to Javier's, and they said the CSU people still weren't finished with the scene." Kahan handed Jesse the folder he'd been holding since just after Jesse and Hale had walked into the library. "See for yourself. The man killed in the car you were chasing in Paradise was Michael Scott Atkinson, a former Army Ranger with a history of violence both in and out of the service. Came home from his tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and went into business for himself, putting his skills to more profitable and less patriotic uses. Peepers might work alone, but he's in the business. It's a different business than most, but it's a business just the same. You hear about people, know their reps. Peepers probably hired Atkinson to screw around with you, and then things worked out better than Peepers could have dreamed. And look at Atkinson's photo. He's bigger than Peepers, a little more imposing. But you wouldn't necessarily remember his face." Jesse studied the photo. He didn't look much like Peepers, yet Kahan had a point. This guy had an unremarkable and forgettable face. Jesse could see how Alicia, already busy on the phone, might have been suggestible to Jesse's questions.
She saw who Jesse had prompted her to see, and Jesse leapt to conclusions because the delivery of the plain envelope fit a familiar scenario. "We've also got photos of the car headed toward Dallas," Kahan said, his voice nearly as smug as Peeper's smile. "He's alive, and he's here." But when Jesse flipped the photo over and saw a DNA report that proved the body in the car was Atkinson's, he was confused. "How did you—"
"I called in a few favors," Kahan said.
"There are people in several governments, including ours, who owe me a few. It's amazing what kind of results you can get when people are properly motivated." For some reason, Jesse found he was furious with Kahan. He should have been glad that they knew things for sure now. They knew Peepers was alive and in the Dallas area. Yet it was all Jesse could do to contain his anger. Maybe it was Jesse's innate uneasiness about unequal justice, how the rich and powerful could get what they wanted just because they could, not because they earned it. They could get access to things the rest of us couldn't dream of. Maybe it was that he resented Kahan's treatment of the law and procedures as mere inconveniences, less than inconveniences. But you couldn't shove the genie back into the bottle and unknow things. So Jesse kept quiet. Keeping Jen safe and putting an end to Peepers was what was important. Hunsicker spoke up for the first time in several minutes.
"So, what do we do? Do we finally alert the media and bring down the weight of all the law enforcement agencies? I mean, look, fellas, we know where he is, and he doesn't know we know."
"Don't be so sure," Jesse said. He took the precaution of landing in Oklahoma, but he did everything but wave at the camera. When he killed Gino Fish's assistant, he disguised himself from the cameras. You can't try and outthink him. You have to think along with him. Kahan nodded in agreement. "He's right, Hale. We may know he's here, but we don't know where here. He's already most likely ditched the rental and either stolen another car or rented one under a different alias." As if on cue, Kahan's phone buzzed. He excused himself and answered it. Mostly he nodded and made noises that let the person on the other end know he was listening. He put the phone back in his pocket. "A contact in the Dallas PD," Kahan said. "They just found Milton James's rental over in West Dallas, not too far from where he kept Belinda Yankton. And before you ask, no, there are no new reports of a stolen car from that area yet."
"What do we do?" Hunsicker asked, looking more than a little worried. "The rehearsal and rehearsal dinner tonight."
Kahan looked at Jesse and Jesse back at him. There was no need for words between them. They tilted their heads at Hunsicker, as if to say, "Who's going to tell him?" Jesse pointed at himself. Kahan nodded. "We do exactly what we were supposed to do. We go ahead with the rehearsal and the dinner. I doubt Peepers will make his move in front of a small audience. He wants the big stage.